Okay. So our Costa Rica group just got back, and one of the guys that went on the trip, his name is Andrew Watts. We're going to hear from him this morning. And you'll know why after his video, but he's not in the building this morning. He went to his grandfather's church this morning to spend time with him, and he's going to talk about that in his video. So I'll let him explain it all, but this is a video from Andrew Watts, who went on the Costa Rica trip this last week.
Good morning, Hope Church and Hope at Home. I'm excited to be able to share with you today about what some amazing things that God has done this year. First, if any of you don't know me, my name is Andrew Watts. My wife April and I have been attending Hope Church for almost 2 years now, which is awesome. We absolutely love our Hope Church family. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was an opportunity that I had right when we got back to do just that. So my grandfather, who's had some health issues recently, he's been in and out of the hospital, was in ICU for a while. There were times where we weren't sure if he'd make it out of the hospital, and you know, God saw fit to allow that to happen, and he's been back at home for a while. One of the things that never really even crossed my mind was where my grandfather was at in his faith and his relationship with God. We were worried about his health physically, and not really realizing that his spiritual health was not where it needed to be. So after we got back from Costa Rica on Monday, my wife and I were visiting family, and one of my aunts had shared with us a concern for my grandfather and his spiritual health. Some things that he had said recently had really made them feel like he hadn't accepted the Lord into his heart. And knowing myself before going to Costa Rica, I probably would have shied away a little from really jumping into that fight for the Lord. But the fire that was lit in me in Costa Rica was, again, it was just amazing. So hearing this about my grandfather obviously just put a concern in my heart. So that same day, my mom and I had gone over to have the conversation with him, and we asked him about his salvation. And reluctantly, he kind of denied what he needed at first, and was just in a place at that moment where he wasn't ready. So we prayed and we talked some more about the kingdom of God and what that means. And then shortly after that, we left. And about 5 minutes down the road, my grandfather calls and asks us to come back and said that he needed to talk. So we go back to his house, and I knew as soon as I walked in the door and I saw his face that the conviction that God put on him, it was too much, and God was not going to let him go. I was blessed with an opportunity to have that conversation with my grandfather that night and to pray with him. And I prayed over him, and then my grandfather prayed, and at that moment he accepted Jesus and was saved. And it was an amazing time for him. It was a huge blessing for him, but it was a huge blessing for me too. And I know that my trip in Costa Rica had a huge impact on this situation, and God's timing, wow. His timing is everything. We don't obviously know his plan like he does, but I know I just needed to trust that more. My encouragement for the church is just that, you know, trust God's plan. Try to be grounded in your faith no matter where you are. You don't have to go to Costa Rica to have a big spiritual moment in God to make a difference. You don't have to have that. You can have that here. Look for opportunities in your life no matter where you are to build on to the kingdom of God. But I would also encourage you to support the missions trip in Costa Rica. God has got a lot of work to do in areas like that, in providing them just the chance, the opportunity. So many people down there probably never even heard of God. But the work that Hope Church is doing with the missions is just amazing. And I know that it's a blessing to God. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you today. Love you guys. Bye.
Which no. one of us is doing this?
Come here.
We just do we hug it out?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Man, you like me.
I was gonna invite you up.
Go ahead and invite me up.
This is Pastor Jim. You can go. Yeah.
So
you don't need me.
Wait, what were you gonna say though?
I was gonna invite the Costa Rica team up and play the video with all the pictures and stuff.
But what about why Andrew's not here today?
Because he's with his grandpa at his church.
Doing what?
I think he's baptizing him, isn't he?
He's getting baptized. Grandpa is today. Yeah. Now you know why you still need me.
Well, do you want me to leave this? Why don't we play the video?
Yeah. Hey, wait.
Hold on.
Before you do, this is when you're going to invite the guys
we didn't plan
to
this.
Costa Rica.
Okay.
We work together.
I know we do.
Every week, every day.
Okay. Okay, Andrew is at his grandfather's church this morning baptizing him.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, there we go. Costa Rica guys, you are invited to the stage while we play a video of everything that happened while you guys were
Not
there.
Not everything, but some of the things.
Oh my
Very
God.
Good, Zach. We love you. All right. I guess you would say some really rough people according to the world, but they have been touched by God. And it was so exciting to work with them. I think in like day three or four, there was not enough Advil to help the old chubby guys, not the guy on the end, but yeah, just to keep moving. But this was a very spiritual spiritual time, and it was beautiful. So these guys are just going to share a little bit, and I think we'll start over here with Mark and just kind of share a little bit what your thoughts were.
Perfect.
I'm glad
Thank
you wrote
you.
Those down.
Hey, you know, I followed direction. You asked us to write things down because I have a tendency to ramble. So hopefully this
Not
will
me.
Allow to stick to my notes. But first thing, what has been so special? This, out of all the years of being a Christian and supporting a lot of people, especially my daughter, I think, spent on like four or five mission trips. This was the very first mission trip that I was able to be part of overseas, which made it really special because about 25 years ago, Liz Jones, and there's a few of you here that remember Liz, but I first met Liz, my wife and I, actually at another church when she came back and she was itinerating trying to gain support for Costa Rica. And then when we came here over 20 years ago, Liz actually came back from the mission field and was on staff. And then when Pastor Jim came, she was actually our worship leader here. And she passed away from cancer, but her work continues to go on. So it was extremely just special for us because of being, you know, in tune with her and listening to what she had been able to accomplish. But it was truly a life-changing experience for me personally. We met new brothers. Some of them called me father, pops. Not that I was old, but I was definitely older than them.
He's in denial.
Yes, I am. It was great because Howie was there and how he understands buildings. So he would tell us what to do. So he was really our foreman, but right there getting along. So it was great. In fact, one little girl, and I don't know if I can share a little bit about her, but she was 11 years old when she was sold to a 40-year-old man for property. Had a baby at 12, and then on the streets, and came to Jessica and of the girls' mission. One night, we were all getting ready for dinner, and Pastor Christian started playing worship music in Spanish. Couldn't understand it, but boy, our hearts just connected. And he kept asking Pastor to come and share a word. Pastor kept refusing to do that. Oh, no, let Howie do it. He's going to share his testimony. But finally, God convicted him, and he came forward and talked about being loved and being forgiven. And these guys and girls were just crying before the Lord in worship. And this wasn't planned. And, you know, when you get to see, like, the little girl coming up to Pastor and just embracing him, just weeping before the Lord. Gang members would come up, and we got to have the privilege, each one of us, to pray for them and hugging them and them just burying their chest, weeping before the Lord. It touches you. And we got to pray over them. Didn't understand, but boy, the Holy Spirit was just hovering over and interpreting for us. God is so good. He reminded me at that time, you know, where there is sin, grace abounds more. And that night I referred to Romans 4, 3 and 5, and it says, "For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith." And then in 5, "But people are counted as righteous not because of their work or their actions, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners." He forgave each one of us. Their sins were very outward. Sometimes our sins are very inward. But they wept and humbled themselves before the Lord. And that touched each one of us. A few days later, as you saw baptizing, said 20 plus, I sort of counted 30. And Andrew and I were actually in the ocean. Pastor said, "Make sure you get them all the way down and wet, or it wouldn't be kicked." And there was one we had to, because they kept fighting, so thinking we were going to drown them. But we had to step back a little and dunk this another one twice. We made sure Howie and Zach, though, we did it right, you know, at first. But
held just Howie under for about 5 minutes, yeah, to make sure it took. No.
But the power of that and the experience to be able to know what we had just seen a couple of days before, and then to see them walk it out, was life-changing. And then not knowing what Andrew was going to experience, where he's experiencing right now about his own grandfather being baptized, it was an experience that we will never forget. Touched our lives. Yeah,
thanks, Mark. And let me say this, that obviously we all couldn't go, but you who gave towards that are 100% part of what happened. Those of you who prayed for us are 100% part of what happened. And I cannot thank you enough at Hope for all the things that God allows us to do locally, nationally, and internationally, because we, you know, we're blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Mark. Howie?
First off, I got a message yesterday that there was homework, and I'm never good at homework, so maybe I can share yours. You know, it...
What message?
I don't know. Ask him.
Oh, Pastor Zach?
Yeah.
We don't know, but, you know, he looks cool and can fit in skinny jeans and has big hair. That's good enough.
You know, it was a very special time for me to stay in the refuge with those guys. You know, I was in a place like that a little over a quarter century ago, and my life has completely changed from, you know, what it was like back then. But to be able to stay there with those guys and just remind me of some of the stuff that had happened to me, and be able to share with them what I did and how I changed. You know, I'm pretty loud. I can talk.
So I get it.
But and to work with these guys and watch them work so hard on these jobs, you know, they just wanted to, you know, work off some of that, you know, stuff they were going through and just, you know, help. They wanted to help, you know, and but it was, you know, it was a great trip, you know, and to be able to, the last day we were there, the feeding process where people were coming up and eating the rice and the mystery meat, they just loved it. They loved it. And I was like, you know, that was great that we were able to, you know, just work on that place with the guys and just turn it into something different than what it was, you know. And but it was a good trip. Like I said, I didn't do my homework like Mark did, so you're up, Zach.
Wait. Do you want to just mention momentarily how I tried to kill the whole group on our free day?
You know, that was the last day. I was going to leave that out, but I thought I was on a Gilligan's Island trip, and, you know, little Skipper over here was like, it's fine, let's just keep going, and let's just say that the water was a little rough for fishing. So.
Well, I taught these guys how to pray out of sheer desperation, thinking any moment they could meet Jesus. So it was good for you, Allie.
Yeah, definitely. We thought he was coming.
All right, so Zach, you're by 30 years the youngest one on the trip, and you got to hang out with a bunch of old guys, and you realize that in an airport or anything, anytime we see a restroom, we're going to use it. And so, you know, we still like adventure, but, you know, things change. And so, Zach, we're so excited that you came on this trip. And the truth is, he connected in a way that none of us were able to. It was so beautiful how God used Zach. I mean, we all have been impacted, but I'm talking about how he was able to connect with the guys was just incredible. So just share a little bit, Zach, the thoughts that you have from hanging out with us old guys.
Yeah, it was such a blessing just to spend time with the group and just grow together and just learn from the guys, like how he is so knowledgeable in construction and such a big mentor in Christ too, and all the guys. And so it was so powerful just to live life with them over the week. As I was thinking about what I was going to share today, I wanted to break it into like three groups. And so I brought a few things to like showcase. I don't know how much time I have.
I'll tell you when you're done.
Okay. but I want to preface it first before I share those three things. What happened the first day that we were there, the first total day. We started the day with devotions with the men at the refuge there. And so after breakfast, we all sat around and had a devotion. And the first devotion that Pastor Christian shared, he spoke about being conscious and being awake, and that when we fall asleep, we can lose track and fall into addiction very easily. And based on the scripture, like 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's 5:3, just like, warning the brothers, you know, to stay awake and to prepare for Jesus' coming back. And so that really spoke to me the first day. Just it woke me up to like say, you need to stay awake, because just the past like 6 months to a year, I've been falling asleep quite a bit. And so it was a big wake-up call to me. So that was really powerful. And then now I can show you these two things. Is it okay if I use that stand?
Sure. Okay. Anything else I can get you?
I don't know. If I guess there's stuff. There's stuff on it. I don't want to use here, but basically...
No, we're good. We're good. I'll get it for you.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You can tell Zach is very conscious. Are you going to talk about your flip-flops that you found buried deep in the mud that you thought they were still good enough to use since your shoes fell apart?
I was going to avoid that topic, actually. but yeah, maybe we could talk about that later. Come talk to me if you want to know more about that. But basically, I wanted to, the three things I wanted to share. Costa Rica for me was, it was split into three groups. The first two was working with the men, and then also building relationships. And so this first item here, this is a piece of a plumbing. And one of the jobs we did at on the construction site was putting in waterworks sewer system. And so there's a story behind this. I guess I can go into that first. But basically, when we put it in, the glue was drying, and we thought it was done and fixed, or we thought it was all set to go. So then it was like a shower nozzle. And so you get water easily from there. And so we turned it on and got water, and we were so happy. But then it would not turn off. So we had to go find Howie and tell him. And
hold on just a minute. When he says we, he actually means Zach.
Yeah, just me.
It wasn't a group turn it on. It was a group who built it.
That's
and
true.
And
then a
one-man wrecking crew who destroyed it.
That is true, yes. Yes, although I did have some help with my friend Musa. We both were gathering the water together, but I'll take full responsibility for it, because it was kind of me that was like, hey, there's a water source now, so... But I can tell you more about Musa soon. He's a very good friend during the trip and a very close friend now, and I think in the future too. And so, but yeah, just basically work and then work and relationships. So each day we were there, we were working there for 5 days, and each day, you know, we'd work on a project and just dive right in. And each of the men, there's around 13 men there at the refuge. They are so knowledgeable in construction and just in working there and building. And so basically we just dive in and say, hey, how can I help you? I want to help you. And so in the little Spanish that I knew, I would just say, hey, you know, I want to help you and just show me what to do. And so through the projects, I would just get to know the guys and just build relationships with them. And several of those instances would be I can just share with you. Manuel, he's such a cool guy. We met him the first day. He has such a strong work ethic, and we were just one day we would when the guys went to buy stuff at the store. I did not know we were going to go in that truck, so I jumped in the truck with all the guys, and instead of going to the store, I went to the construction site with all the guys alone. So it was like, oh, okay, this is good. So then I got to spend the day with Manuel. And we just drove back and forth in the truck and brought materials from one site to the other. And it was so good to just build a relationship with him. And we actually got to steal, or not steal, but we got to borrow some sand from the beach. Because we needed sand, and that was really cool. But yeah, it was really good. And then we got like also Hans Peter. Hans Peter was such a cool guy. I got to know him over the week. He has a love for computers and for IT work just like me. And he showed me like a hacking script that he wrote on his phone, and it was so cool. And
is there something about the shell you want to share with us?
Oh, yes.
Before we get indicted because this is being filmed.
Sorry. Yes, so basically, yeah, just God really moved and opened up. Like, he really just helped relationships to grow during that week. And so this shell was given to me by Carlo Lopez, and he has a history in drugs and but God has healed him, and he so just I guess that's a reminder for me to pray for them and to continue to pray for them now as we're back in the States. But yeah, it was just a week of work and relationships. The last thing, which I really want to share with you, is that on Thursday, during baptisms, I was also baptized.
Amen.
This has been a long journey towards this point. I grew up in the church, and I've always, my parents were Christians, and I was baptized at a very early age, and it was not my choice. And I believe that around high school, college, during my college years, God was telling me, "You need to get baptized again," and I really ran away from that. Because I told God, I don't need to get baptized because I was already baptized. And so it was just, it's been a journey, and it's been a, I guess what it comes down to is obedience. Yeah, you need to obey God. And so that was so powerful that when Jim and Pastor Christian said, "Hey, we're going to be baptizing again," God was like, you need to do that. So that was like one of the best parts of the trip for me. But yeah, I think that's it.
You know, hey, I just want to say about him. We teased Zach because he broke things that we were trying to build. But I kid you not, he was the most dynamic with the guys. At the end of the week, he wrote handwritten letters in Spanish to the guys and bless them, and what a great guy who made a huge, huge difference. Howie's kind of been asking for a chair, so I don't know if it's time that you guys can go sit down. Or
last time I was up here, we had chairs. So
anything else you guys want to share? All right, hey, thank you a bunch. Appreciate it. You can just set the mics down. It's a little awkward. Couple other things that I want to share. I have something prepared, and every week I try to be very prepared, but this just isn't the week for that. Next week, I'm very excited about our new series in Ecclesiastes. Solomon has really struggled with, what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? Everything's meaningless. Can somebody make sense of something? And what a beautiful, exciting time. I've been wanting to, I think, teach through the book of Ecclesiastes, I don't know, maybe 3 years. It's just been rolling over inside of me. And so as a team, we're going to do that, and I'm excited about that. Let me mention how good God is. In September, remember, we came back from India and we dedicated the 9th and 10th church. And God said, "We want you to do that." Second or third year into India, God said, "Jim, I want you to go to Costa Rica." I didn't want to go. God, I'm already committed to about $100,000 in India. We're not a huge church. I don't want to go. But then I took that step. And this year, we've built a building that's in a place that these guys never went to, that's one of the poorest areas in Costa Rica, called Las Gradas. And on the side of a mountain, we built a counseling center for little kids, because 90% of that community is physically touched, and things happen that ought not happen. And so when I say we, I don't mean me, I mean we are absolutely making a difference, not only here in Northwest Arkansas, not only here in America, but in other countries. And this trip was very touching. And I literally on that night, I didn't want to speak. Actually, we were getting ready for dinner. Dinner was there, and he said, you know, hey, Pastor Christian wants you to share something. I'm like, nah, I'm just here to worship. Have you ever felt inadequate? Like, you know, what am I going to tell people who've murdered people? What am I going to tell a little 15-year-old who's had a baby a little bit after she's 12 years old? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. And they said, no. I said, no, have Howie. And then the other pastor, Christian, says, no, he'll talk too long. He'll do his tomorrow. And our other friend who was there, Brian, I said, have Brian do it. And the Lord kept pressing on me, Jim, I have something for you to say. And I was thinking, just like when I said, I don't want to go to Costa Rica. I'm already busy. And then God moved in such a beautiful way. And it was like an hour and a half later that we ended up eating our supper. But what a joy. And two other things I want to mention, then we'll pray and dismiss. Number one is that this is a very poor area. It's a fishing village, and it's really, really poor. Matter of fact, when we went to go get some food, some fish, I looked at some of the places where people were living, and I thought, this rivals India. And, you know, there's, you know, Costa Rica, there's beautiful beaches and beautiful, I mean, who doesn't want to go to Costa Rica? But if you ever go to Costa Rica, you'll never go to the places where we surf. You'll never go to Pavas in San Jose because it's so dangerous and filled with gangs. You'll never go to Terrassas where we've started sewing ministries because it's so dangerous. You'll never go to Carpio because who wants to go to the city dump? And that's where we go. And while we were there, there's an opportunity for us. And I'm so thankful that Sharon, you reminded me. She handed me a check, and she goes, hey, Jim, this is just going to help. We have an opportunity to provide shoes for kids when they go back to school. And I thought, man, that's super cool. And so we called our friends, our friend Jessica, who grew up in Kentucky, and now she lives there, and she takes care of, I think right now she has 7 or 8 girls, some are 15, some are 30, that have all been either prostituted or just awful things. I mean, this sweet little 15-year-old, for example, I don't know, little girls aren't supposed to have babies at 12 and a half. Little girls aren't supposed to talk to her mom on the phone because her mom's in prison because mom murdered her little brother. That's just stuff. To me, it's make-believe, but it's unfortunately not. And I don't even think the other guys know this. One of the guys from the refuge was killed this week. And it's just how it goes. And I felt super inadequate to share, but there's something that you have that the world needs, and it's what Andrew said. And Andrew was much happier than he looked on that. It looked like he was being interviewed by the FBI, but he's quite a happy guy and very friendly. He was like, my name is Andrew. But you know, his life, he'd never been on a mission trip. His life was changed. But if you want to, you can help give shoes. $15, and we'll buy shoes for these kids. I'm going back to Costa Rica early March, and our denomination, they said, hey, Jim, could you lead this group, these pastors and these people to go? I said, sure. I would love to do that. But if you would like to do that, I mean, again, we don't really receive offerings here. We trust that you're obedient to God and give. But if you would like to do that, you can do it on the app, or you can do it like we wrote a check and we'll just drop it in a little box on the way back. Here's something kind of personal to me that happened. And it's true. We went on a day fishing, and it was so rough. I mean, we were in little boats. And there were like 7 guys in their boat, and we had Pastor Christian, his daughter, and then 2 other gals. So their boat was, you know, a lot lower to the water than ours. And they were taking on a lot of water. And, I mean, these boats would go up and just slam down where literally You thought it was going to snap in half. It was crazy. And as I was standing there, it was just a powerful thing that happened. 40 years ago, I was on a trip, and my sister's a biologist, and we were going from Long Beach to Catalina, a beautiful day over there. I got to fish, and they did research. And on the way back, the waves got really, really bad. People were throwing up. It was just awful. They had a little Zodiac, kind of a Jacques Cousteau boat that they pulled behind the big boat, and they brought that aboard, and I mean, the thing was just going nuts. And I looked over at the captain, old salty guy, and it looked like a Sunday drive for him. And I prayed a prayer at that moment, and I said, God, is there any way that maybe someday as a pastor, I could be like that? So 40 years later, we're in this boat just getting pounded. And the Lord dropped that in my heart. And he said, Jim, remember that prayer you prayed 40 years ago? And I said, yeah. He said, you're kind of like that now. You're steady, even when things are hard. And you're not caught off guard. And I just was like, oh, my goodness. And I felt so, so proud of the Lord allowing me to be in ministry for all these years. And at that moment, we were just getting pounded. You know, people are flying around in the boat, but I was so proud. I puffed my chest out. And, you know, with tears in my eyes, I'm like, thank you, God. I don't care if we go down today. I've made it. And I was so talking to God. Then I started saluting the Lord like he's the captain. And Christian's daughter was in the front of the bow. You know, a little while before that, three of them were up there, and a huge wave came over them, and I'm saluting, and she's looking at me, and she starts saluting me back. I'm like, no, this is between God and me. You know, and it was just so, so special that God has allowed me the privilege to be a pastor as many years as I have. And I just want to thank you for being a great church. I love you all dearly, and I'm grateful for you and your contribution to our lives. And it helps us to know that you don't just come to church, you want to be part of church, and that you have value. Our teenagers have value. Those whose hair's the color of mine have value. Those who dye their hair not to look like mine have value. You understand what I'm saying? You're loved by God, and I care about you. So anyway, let's pray together, and we'll be dismissed. And thank you for being here today. I can't wait until next week to kick off the book of Ecclesiastes. I think it will really be a blessing. If it's anywhere close to the blessing it's been to me over the last couple years, I think you're really going to get a lot out of what Solomon wrestles with. Let's pray together. Father, what an honor, oh my goodness, that you allow Hope Church to be used in such big ways. God, thank you so much for the people who prayed on this trip, the people who've invested into Costa Rica, not once, not twice, maybe 10 or 15 times. Thank you, God, that you're growing in us a depth, like Andrew, who decided I can share my faith here, like Zach, who's decided I'm going to get my focus. I'm not going to be asleep, like Howie, who has had hard times, and now he has a testimony that's beautiful. And Mark, who never even been on a trip, and it made such a difference on this one. God, thank you. I pray that you help us this week to continue to grow in you, that we would seek you, that we would serve you, that we would share you. And God, I pray, Lord, for everyone here and those watching at home, Lord, bless them. Keep them, God. May your face radiate about them, Lord. Give them peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, by the way, next week we're doing some baptisms. If you've never been baptized, see Pastor Kevin or Pastor Zach on the way out, and we would love to add you being part of the baptisms next week. God bless you today. You're dismissed.